We are ready to again. All right. Well, welcome to those who are joining us online from the United States Department of Agriculture. I'm Emory Cleveland, President of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters, and with us is Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johanns and Deputy Secretary Chuck Connor, just sworn in this morning. And we turn things now over to Secretary Johanns.
Emory, thank you very much. It is a pleasure for me to be speaking to farm broadcasters and to farmers and ranchers across this country. My bio is probably somewhat well known at this point, but I grew up on a dairy farm in Iowa. I moved to Nebraska. I entered public service at the local level. Throughout that public service career, one of the things that I've emphasized is working with people in a respectful way, in a dignified way, and in a way that emphasizes equality. We have also done everything we can to emphasize transparency. It is important that we operate in the open, important that we do that to fulfill our mission here at the USDA. Transparency is essential to serve our farmers and ranchers across this country. Respect, dignity, and equality is also about listening. My door will always be open. We may not always agree, but I will always offer the opportunity for people to offer their opinion, and we will respect their viewpoint. So in that vein, I have an announcement that I would like to make today. It won't be very long before there's a whole lot of discussion and talk about the new Farm Bill. The new Farm Bill will affect America's entire ag community. I feel strongly that America's entire ag community should have a say in the process. So today I am announcing that the USDA will conduct a nationwide series of listening sessions. I want to ask farmers and ranchers how our farm policy is affecting them and how we might make that policy better. There are certain issues that I am especially interested in hearing about. Are we doing enough to encourage and support the next generation of farmers and people who are interested in starting out in production agriculture? Are we fostering the right kind of atmosphere for farmers and ranchers, one in which the opportunity to succeed is there? And is there more that we can do to expand this administration's groundbreaking success with cooperative conservation, conservation that works with agriculture and not against it? Those are among the areas that I am interested in. You can expect to hear more in the near future about the questions that farmers and ranchers can help us answer during these listening sessions. You can also expect to hear me ask you, America's farm broadcasters, for help in this effort. You are an invaluable part of the agricultural community. You are not just a conduit for vital information, but you yourselves are leaders and you are advocates in your communities, and we recognize that. That's why I'm hoping you will help us. First, by spreading the word. Also, by suggesting venues in your home states and communities where these listening sessions might occur, and even by acting as moderators at some of these sessions. So for all of you broadcasters, both here in person and listening from studios across this country, if you are interested in helping with this effort, please contact our Office of Communications here in Washington, D.C. We would love to enlist your support in our efforts here. These listening sessions do represent an important opportunity. USDA is here to serve America's agricultural community, and the best way we can do this is by asking for your help and for your advice. America's farmers and ranchers are our customers, and their voices must be an important part of our farm policy. So with that, I look forward myself to being involved in the listening sessions, and I do want to thank you all.
I would ask that for the broadcasters here in Washington, and that's where the questions will come from for the next 10 minutes, identify yourself, and I would ask the first question. Emery Cleveland, White Farm Network, Omaha, president of NAFB. What were your concerns and what prompted you to hold these listening sessions? Were there things you saw that you weren't hearing from rural America?
I would say that the listening sessions did not come about because of concern. They came about because of interest. Interest in going out to the farm, to the ranch, to areas where we would hear from people about what we're doing right in terms of farm policy and what we're doing wrong, what we need to think about as we're developing the next farm bill. My whole goal here is to literally invite the farm community to be involved in this process. I intend to personally be involved in the listening sessions to the maximum extent I can. We will also dispatch our new deputy, Chuck Connor. I'm confident he will be involved in some, and there could be some other secretaries. Our whole effort here is to get across this country and learn from people. So it wasn't really concern that started the discussion here about the possibility of listening sessions. It was just a recognition that our customers are America's farmers and ranchers, and in developing policy, we need to hear from them.
Orion
Samuelson, WGN Radio, Chicago, U.S. Farm Report Television. The writing of the last farm bill, there was concern, Mr. Secretary, that the administration did not put forth proposals at the very outset to be discussed and debated. Do you see the administration doing that this time?
We're way ahead of anything in terms of administrative proposals, months and months ahead, as a matter of fact, Orion. What I would offer is this. I feel very, very confident that as we hear from farmers and ranchers, we're going to hear how things are working and what isn't working. I think we're going to hear from them about programs that we might want to consider. Now, whether they develop into proposals, time will tell. I do know this. I believe after these listening sessions across the country, we will be much better prepared to debate farm policy, to offer our input to the House and the Senate. So that's really what we're headed out to do. It's like I said, months and months ahead of where we would be at in terms of any proposals. But the whole goal here is to make sure that we've laid the necessary groundwork.
Pam Yonke, Wisconsin Farm Report, Madison, Wisconsin. Let me be the first to volunteer to help you host in Madison. We're so happy that an ag secretary's got dairy experience, so thank you very much. With regard to these national meetings, when do you anticipate them beginning?
Well, I think we're ready to begin really about any time, certainly this summer. So I think we're ready to start identifying venues and identifying folks that can help us. Again, we look to broadcasters to assist in that. There may be some opportunities through the summer in terms of fairs and ag shows and that sort of thing, which are just natural attractors, if you will, of farmers and ranchers. And so I'm ready to go to work. I said in my confirmation hearing that I wanted to be the kind of secretary that got out of the beltway and listened to farmers and ranchers. I'll also share another thing with you. I am so looking forward to this. This is what I did as governor. We would set aside travel days where we would just literally try to blanket the state and get into areas and talk to producers. And so this is my opportunity to do that. I'm excited to get out of the beltway and get out with farmers and ranchers.
We have about 3 minutes left in the broadcast. Jeff?
Jeff Nally with the Cromwell Ag Radio Network. Mr. Secretary, given the administration's call for fewer spending in the budget resolution, calling for less money over the next 5 years, is it safe to say that the administration and this Congress will look for a way to provide a farm policy that probably won't spend as much over the next 5 or 7 years as it has in years past?
You know, I'd hate to telegraph anything at this point in terms of administrative policy because, again, we are way ahead of this, and the whole idea of these listening sessions would be to start building the debate from the people that are out there where the rubber meets the road, from the people who are actually involved in the implementation of our farm programs. So I guess today what I would say is my goal was to put the word out. We're going to be across this country. We're going to be listening to people. We will be offering some questions that we would like folks to offer some insight on, and I identified some general areas today. But our goal is to make these very valuable. This is not going to be a session where we just shoot the bolt. This will be a session where we really try to focus in on what's important, what's working, what's not working, the kinds of things we need to be thinking about as we develop the next Farm Bill.
We have 1 minute, Bill. Last question.
Mr. Secretary, I'm Bill Ray with AgriNet. One of the concerns that I hear a lot about is farm export policy and trade policy in general. Do you envision that this would be incorporated in such discussions?
Trade policy is so huge to American agriculture. You know, I use a number of statistics, but one that keeps coming back to me is 27% of what we do in agriculture needs to find a foreign market. 96% of the world's population doesn't live in the United States. It lives outside our borders. Therefore, he who advocates against fair trade policy is really advocating against the average farmer and rancher out there. You've got to have trade for agriculture to be successful financially, and that's not going to lessen any. There are many countries that would love to take our trade and sell into the markets where we're selling. It's very, very competitive, and so I would have to imagine we'll have discussions about what we need to do in that arena.
This will end this portion of our Washington Watch with the National Association of Farm Broadcasters and our visit with Secretary Johannes and Deputy Secretary Connor. We're disconnected. Okay, we will open it. Did you want to make any more comments before we...
I'll just offer one quick comment, and then we'll be happy to take any questions that you might have. We are very... very excited about these listening sessions. In fact, downright pumped up about the opportunity to get all across the country. When I said that we want your help, I'm very sincere about that. We hope we will hear from you. We hope that you will go back home and maybe talk to your ag groups or whoever and make some proposals to us as to what would be good venues for these sessions. And again, if that fits in as a part of your state fair or it fits in as a part of your ag show, whatever it is, all the better. And I do want you to know that I intend to personally devote a substantial block of my time for the months ahead to getting across the country and doing everything I can to participate in these. I also anticipate that Chuck will be out there, and we'll probably have some other folks. That will give us the opportunity to spread across the country in a pretty significant way. So we invite your help and participation, and like I said, if the phone rings and we're asking one of you or somebody in your group to be a moderator, we'd ask you also to consider that. We want these to be very, very helpful, and I think they will be. I think if we all work together, I think we can get some great input as we start to develop our thoughts relative to the next Farm Bill.
Have any locations been selected at all yet?
We really haven't. Today is the first announcement, and all that's kind of intentional. We wanted this to kind of build from the ground up, if you will. And we think it will. We're excited about it, and we think we'll have some great sessions out there.
Chuck
Zimmerman, Zimcom, Agri-Marketing Pros weblog. We're farm podcasters. And question I have right now, the NRECA has their annual legislative conference going on here in D.C. Could you maybe send a message to those folks? I know one of the concerns they might have is the redefinition of rural that OMB has, I don't know if demand is the right word, to redefine that and make it a smaller community, which might make it harder for them to obtain financial assistance through RUS, for example. Any status on that or message you might send to these folks?
I don't have any current status on that. I guess if I were to send a message to people that are involved in whether it's rural economic development or agriculture in general, first thing I would say is this. I look at the statistics over the last 4 years, really over the 6 years that I've been governor, and this administration really has been a champion relative to agriculture, and we have seen many byproducts of that that have been a huge benefit to America's farmer and rancher. We're setting records in export sales, net farm cash income, we're setting records, net farm equity, we're setting records. It's been a rather remarkable time. Now, is there more we can do? Sure, there's more we can do. Are there additional things we'd like to look at in terms of rural economic development? I anticipate that some ideas may float up through these listening sessions. But again, having seen it now from the state side, now some experience at the federal level, this president and this administration, I have to tell you, has been enormously supportive of rural America. And for me, that's very exciting. It's easy to be on a team when you have a president that is focused and determined to do everything he can for all of the country, including rural America.
Lou and Ed Kim.
Lou Hansen, RFD Illinois. Mr. Secretary, thanks for your time today. And also, Mr. Connor, congratulations on your assumption of office today. I'd like to ask you, as the Secretary mentioned, when he had questions, he goes to Connor on the Hill. I think just about every farm broadcaster and every farm organization did the same thing. How do you see your role changing as Deputy Ag Secretary? What can you do now you couldn't do before?
Well, I think we've got a great team here at USDA, and certainly that is going to be to my benefit to have full access to that team for their help and assistance as we move forward, particularly with the undertaking that the Secretary has announced today. I mean, this is an enormous undertaking, and it's something that I've been involved in every farm bill since 1981, and I've not seen an administration of do this and begin this type of undertaking at this phase in the process. So we really are breaking new ground here, and I think the resources that we have at the USDA are going to prove invaluable as we attempt to gather this information and then on to the next step of an analysis and begin to pull together ideas. So it's going to be great to have access to those kinds of team people and resources that you have here at the Department of Agriculture.
Mr. Secretary, Ken Root from the Iowa Ag Radio Network based at WHO in Des Moines. You came into office carrying the President's banner for reducing the budget for programs for the U.S. Department of Agriculture and endorsed payment limitation. Where do you think both will wind up this year? And along with that, in the new role, what have you learned from this attempt?
Well, I support those. I do believe they're sensible farm policy. As I've said so many times since the budget was rolled out, every farmer and rancher out there knows that unless you deal with your budget issues, there isn't much hope for economic prosperity. We've had a great run with this president. It's been remarkable. He wants to do everything he can to lay the platform, if you will, for the next generation. And I just, he's got it right. You've got to deal with the budget deficit. And his goal is to cut it in half in the next 5 years, and could not agree more with his approach. What have we learned? My attitude is everything is a learning experience, and we'll continue to work hard to push that message. I was here a very short period of time before the budget was released, so if there's one thing I've learned is that it does help to have a little more time from my personal standpoint. I think what's happening out there is that people are recognizing that we have to deal with the deficit, just have to. So the president's message in that regard, I believe, has been enormously successful. And we're still working through the budget process, and we're still going to advocate for those approaches that were released now some months ago when the president released his budget plan for 2006.
Yes. I'll just encourage any of the broadcasters sitting on the outside, if you got a question, let us know. Roger, and then Mike.
Roger Ward, WLDS, Jacksonville, Illinois. Two things. Number one, you mentioned young farmers, beginning farmers. I'd like probably maybe elaborate a little on that if you see a major concern happening down the road. And then the second thing on the listening sessions, while we all value our organizations and we know that they have a strong presence here in Washington, would you like to see some of the listening sessions without organizations, with just farmers there?
I'll take your second question. My hope is that every listening session involves farmers. That's just the way we're going to do it. I feel very, very strongly, again, that these are the folks that are there working with the policies once they become law. And I think they're going to have some great ideas, whether it's conservation, whatever. So I'm very anxious, and there won't be a listening session where we're not involving farmers. I'll guarantee that. These aren't going to be academic exercises. These are going to be exercises where we hear from the people that are out there working with the programs, and that's the farmers. In terms of young farmers, you know, when I was governor, we spent a lot of time talking about how do we make it possible for the next generation of farmer and rancher to get into the business and have success in the business. We did a number of things at the state level. Here's my goal. I want to make sure that whatever we're doing with farm policy not only works in terms of the time frame for that policy, but also recognizes that there is another generation. I'm guessing if I came to your state and spent the level of time that I spent there or as governor of Nebraska, I would see the same thing. And that is, as I look around the room at just about any event I speak at, 60 to 70% in the room are my age or older. And that tells me that we've got a huge generational shift coming in terms of American agriculture. What are the ramifications of that? I believe they're significant. But we want to flesh those kinds of issues out and talk about those issues. In my appropriations hearing before the House subcommittee, there was a little bit of limited discussion about whether this farm bill was actually capitalized in land values and higher cash rents. If we are doing that in making the cost of land so high and the cost of cash rent so high that it's difficult for young people, we need to flesh that out, see what the ramifications of that are, what the implications are for the next generation of families that want to farm. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on out there, and like I said, I think when we hear from farmers, we'll get a pretty good idea of what's going on.
Mr. Secretary, Mike Herger with the Red River Farm Network in Grand Forks. I just want to thank you. This is a breath of fresh air for myself personally. I have never heard the red carpet rolled out. We as a group, I think, have been battered a little bit in recent years, and we think we're still delivering that message, and it's just nice to hear the confidence that you have put on the table here. And I'll welcome you to North Dakota, Minnesota, the Red River Valley. Trade issues, I think we can incorporate some of the Canadians in there if you'd like. We're very willing to help you.
Great. Well, I'll be willing to come back. I was there, about 10 days ago and enjoyed my stay and had a great time. And so I suspect there'll be an opportunity for us to return. I look forward to that.
We'll go around then, Jeff.
Mr. Secretary, Ron Hayes, Clear Channel Ag Radio Network, South Oklahoma City. The WTO ruling against the U.S. cotton subsidy program, the clock is ticking on step two in the export credit issue. Of course, in the June time period is when we need to respond. We've indicated we are going to respond. Some concern within the cotton industry, though, that maybe the administration staking out their position and then going to go to the industry after the fact. How are you going to involve the industry? In other words, how are we going to come up with something that will be workable for the cotton industry and for all of agriculture as we respond to this decision?
I have already. I've met with folks in the cotton industry and emphasized to them that, look, we want to hear from the industry. We don't have a lot of time. I did tell them that, and that's just the fact of the matter. So I asked them to devote some real energy to this, but what I said to them is I'm anxious to get your thoughts as to how we deal with this. I would tell you here at the USDA, we're in the study process ourselves in terms of what we have to do relative to that WTO ruling, but I'm anxious to hear from the cotton industry. I'm anxious to do whatever we can to incorporate their views into what our response would be. So door has already been opened. I hope they accept that and get us their views. We will welcome them.
With regard to trade, a lot of states have worked really hard to try to get into the Cuban market, yet for the greater good, the administration has been opposed. Trade is important to U.S. agriculture, not a portion all. How have, Mr. Secretary, maybe your views changed now in being in this position with regard to trading in the island nation? And is there a chance that the administration might release its hold and allow freer trade with the country?
I support the administration's position on Cuba, but I would offer this thought. Trade is occurring with Cuba, as you know, in food and medicine, and the statistics are out there, but trade is occurring. What kind of popped this issue up to the surface again, I think, is the payment issue. I've been all over the world. I did 8 trade missions as a governor, and we'd take the ag groups in tow, and they'd come back pumped up and excited about what we had done and this and that. And there wasn't any part of the world that I didn't go to that there weren't requirements that we had to pay attention to, that we had to deal with. It's just part of doing trade in the international marketplace. This discussion was elevated because it's Cuba. But my attitude always was as governor, and it continues to be as secretary, you do trade and you live by the rules that are out there. The rules have been established for this engagement. We'll live by those rules. But that was the case in literally every country I went to. There was always some nuance. There's always something you have to deal with. And then I would often be asked, Mike, when you go over to such and such country, are you going to bring up this issue and that issue? Are you going to talk to them about human rights? And I said, whoa, wait a second. My goal is to do trade. My goal is to market our products. And, again, my attitude here is there are requirements, there are nuances in every area where you do trade. This one seems to get a lot of attention because it's Cuba, but I don't find anything terribly unusual here in terms of the fact that there just are requirements in every part of the world that you deal with.
We'll be wrapping up. We got Phil, then Michelle, and then we get a special presentation. Phil.
Phil Garthwaite, KDTH Radio, Dubuque, Iowa. He was in Columbus, Nebraska for a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I guess, first off, we were Wisconsin and Iowa, battleground states in the election. Got real tired of politicians.
Quit.
We might make an allowance if you want to come.
Okay, great. Well, I'm not running for anything.
That's why we'll make an allowance. Could you give us an update, any kind of dialogue between Japan and the United States regarding beef trade?
Well, we had a team over in Japan, and our discussions with them did go well. And I would not have sent a team if I felt that this was just a part of an ongoing, never-ending process. My hope is that that team was there to move to a finish here and resume trade. So here's what I would say. All the steps in the last month have been in the right direction. They definitely have. They just continue to make their way through the process. And it is painfully slow, and we are just concerned about the pace. We're also anxious, very anxious, to resume trade relations in beef with Japan. But the steps are in the right direction. I might add that that same team has also gone to the Korean market, to South Korea, and again, every indication is that that's moving in the right direction. Once we restore trade with those two countries in beef, we've really pretty well hit the major piece of what was shut down after that one animal was found. So I believe we're closing in on it, but it is slow, and whatever we can do to continue to boost that process, we're going to do.
Okay. Last question. That if we can hear you.
Michelle Rook with WNAX Radio in Yankton, South Dakota, also president-elect for the association.
Great.
Let me be the first, since I get to plan the convention, to invite you to hold a listening session at our convention. We would love to host you and farmers in the area in Kansas City in November.
Okay, great.
And my question would be twofold. Do you expect a checkoff decision within this month? And as far as the Canadian border issue, how soon will that be resolved?
Okay, great. Two great questions. We've been expecting a checkoff decision really any day. I talked to our counsel here, and he indicates to me, Mike, it's going to be any day, and it hasn't happened yet, but I really don't expect a long delay here, and we have our fingers crossed, and we will see a decision, I think, here pretty quickly. On Canada, Canada's a little bit like Japan, only we're on the other side of that issue. A couple of thoughts. The filings by independent parties over the last week were enormously gratifying. You know, producer groups, processing groups, standing up and pointing out the devastation that is occurring because of the continued closing of the Canadian border to beef. We argue over and over again that animals and meat product under 30 months, there just isn't a risk. And these entities that filed briefs with the Ninth Circuit support that, and so it was enormously gratifying. What is also very gratifying, I said to the cattlemen recently in a speech, I said, you know, these folks who maintain that they're somehow helping the little guy by keeping the border closed aren't helping any little guy I know. They're devastating the industry. We got little mom and pop operations out there that have been processing for years that are closing. We've got people that are losing their jobs. We've got communities that are devastated by the economic loss of layoffs from the processing industry. Our processing is being constricted while Canada's is expanding. Somebody's going to have to explain to me how that policy helps the little guy. It hammers the little guy. And so we're encouraged. My hope is that the Ninth Circuit will reverse the decision of the lower court, vacate that injunction, and we need to get back into a normal trade relationship, really across the world. Final thing I'd say on that is there is a golden rule in trade. You can't treat one country one way, another country a different way, and not pay a price for it. We can't be hammering on Japan while we're acting much differently with Canada. It's a small world out there. We're going to do everything we can. I wish I had a timeline for you. It's in the courts, and we'll work through that legal process.
We want to thank both of you for taking valuable time to visit with us here today. I do have a special presentation coming up this Thursday, May 5th. Our organization will be 61 years old. This past year, we've been celebrating our 60th anniversary kind of all year long. And I have a commemorative belt buckle.
Oh, great.
For both of you.
Wow.
Mr. Gunn.
Thank you.
And to, so you don't get too homesick, a Husker red pen.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's also Hoosier red, too.
But, so. That works. That's great.
Again, thank you. And to concur with what Mike said, we thank you for expressing confidence in us.
Great.
And look forward to working with both.
Thank you, Emory. Thank you.